I know people are scattling in and out and using the bathroom for the third time. But I think you ought to take just a moment. If you're talking, don't talk. And I think you ought to stretch your arm to the person beside you and just pray for them. I think we should just take a listen, be serious about that, because you don't know what somebody has brought here. Just pray for that person right now. Would you do that? Would you pray for them? Lord Jesus, we love you. We honor you, oh God. We need you, Lord Jesus, in this place tonight. God, we need your help. We need your strength. We need your touch. We need your word, oh God. Lord, it is the source of our very life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God, I don't know everything my brother or my sister might be carrying, but I pray for them right now, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, that you would touch them tonight. Lord, let the Holy Ghost, God, strengthen and encourage and enrich. Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Two quick things I want to share with you before I do. I just want to say how much it touched my heart when that solo started going. I looked and I said, who is singing that? And I looked over and it was Madeline. And you have to understand that Madeline was still attached to her mother by an umbilical cord when they started coming. And, you know, to look over there and hear her taking this lead in this song. Did she walk out? Where is she? I saw her a second ago. Where? Oh, right there. I cannot express to you the level of pride that I felt in her as I watch her grow, and her brothers too, but they're not up there singing yet tonight. And so you have to allow me to have a little moment, because it's not like they came into church last year and here she is singing. She didn't even have an option. Her parents drug her by way of she was in her mother's womb. And so I'm just so proud of her. And sometimes it's okay just to call individuals out. And my heart just has so much joy. I mean that. Seeing her up there singing, it just excites me. It excites me to see kids that now begin to do this because they want to and not because they're forced. Not because someone made them. And she has such a beautiful voice to go along with that. So, on Saturday, if you have the desire, at 1 p.m., they're doing the prayer for the badge in Jefferson in the center in front of the memorial again. Judge Specht always honors me, and he calls me and asks me to come and pray. I think they have two ministers this year. And then afterwards, he said that they're doing some form of prayer over this Charlie Kirk assassination. I think they're going to move down just a ways, and he asked me if I would stay for that, of which I was more than willing to do that. But if you want to come down and just be a part of that, I think it would be good just to show the support at 1 p.m. And then on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, Brother Harpool will be here. And he'll be here Tuesday and Wednesday. It's going to require a little extra. But I've been preaching a lot about relationship and growth. And we're going to stay there tonight. I just can't express to you. The Holy Ghost expressly told me that he was the person that I had to bring in here for a year to help transform our church. And I will tell you, his ministry will help transform your life and your walk with God if you'll be here. And so Tuesday and Wednesday, of course, Wednesday's a regular day. And we'll try to do something each month that he's here that week to try and ease the schedule a little bit. We'll figure that one out. But I encourage you to be here. It's this upcoming Tuesday, right? I don't have my schedule wrong. Okay, it's in 2 weeks. That's right. The 30th and the 1st. The 30th and the 1st. Thank you for correcting me. The 30th and the 1st. So now you got 2 weeks to get your mind together and make sure you're here. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Before I read, let me just say this. If you've never heard me say it before, I'm going to say it again. It's not important to me that you attend church. It's important to me that you attend and God continues to grow you and your walk with God to help you to overcome and to become everything that God wants you to be. That's what matters. That matters more than tithing. It matters more than what you do. You know, and we need more people to do more. I ain't going to lie to you. But every single person will hit a wall in their walk with God. And that wall is a part of your DNA. It's a part of your upbringing. And when you, if you stay with it, and that wall comes down, you'll go the next step, and then you will hit a wall again. And there will always be walls. They get easier as you grow in the Lord. But listen to me. There's no pride in staying where you are your whole life. But when you continue to excel in the Lord, and you look back and you see what God has done because he helped you bring down those walls, you'll be so thankful that you stuck with it. And I cannot emphasize that enough. Ecclesiastes 9:11, I returned, I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And I want to try and preach tonight what I fill my heart. Title, Off to the Races. And Matthew's going to pray for us.
Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful spirit that we feel here this evening. God, I ask, Lord, that as we just settle into this place, Lord, God, that your spirit just dwells amongst us, Lord. God, we pray over Pastor together, Lord, that as he delivers this word, God, that you just speak through him and use him as the vessel he is willing
to
be tonight. God, I ask that your spirit just falls so quickly in this place, Lord. God, that our minds are made up today, God, that we're going to focus on what you have for each and every one of us today, God. Lord, be with those, God, that are struggling right now, Lord, and use this word, God, to encourage them, Lord. God, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. It seems today that everything is a race. Everybody has to have an answer. Everyone has to be right. It's like a race of intellectuals. Years ago, I remember Greg Godwin, we were talking, and he said, sometimes when you say something and the other person knows, you don't want to hear, yeah, I know, you want to just shut up. No, I'm being honest. And I'm sitting there, and I almost said, yeah, I know. I know, shut up. My wife told me that Colin said something to her that I thought was interesting. And he said, I think that comes from school, where you always feel like if you don't have a right answer, you look like an idiot. And so everybody wants to have an answer or the answer. And we don't realize how that affects us. And that's why I'm not a fan of the bumper stickers that says, my child is an honor roll student. I don't care. I'm being honest. Who cares? Is your marriage whole? I'll sit there just for a moment. Are you an alcoholic? Are you an adulterer? So what? Your child's an honor roll. How's everything else? Because of the pressure that I believe we put on kids to perform. There's a tremendous amount of pressure put on young people to perform. Tremendous. Why? So I can brag? My child got accepted into Stanford. Oh, I didn't know the goal was to give you bragging rights. Can I preach for a couple minutes? So we've always, I'm not saying we've done it all right for sure, but we've always tried to take the approach, you know, I really, if you get a D, you get a D. Let's do better. You can do better. If you get straight A's, wonderful. I was far from a straight A student. I was happy with D's. I'd come home, I got a D in this, and I got a D in this. A D's not an F. That's all I cared about. But it seems like everything is about who can compete better. Who's more buff? Who has the better hair? Who's the better fighter? Who can run faster? Who makes more money? Who has a nicer car? Who has the bigger house? Who has all the answers? And so we go through life and it's like this race. But the Bible says the race is not to the swift. It's not about how fast you run. Because if you've ever ran in a race, and I have, you understand it's not about how you start, but it's about how you finish. Most runners do not come out of the gate with all their energy, strength, and speed, because they'll expel all of it before they get halfway through the race, and then they'll tire out. A runner understands it's not about how fast you start, but it is about where you finish. In our walk with God, it's not about who excels quicker. It's not about who gets used more. It's not about who gets recognized and who doesn't. We're not in a competition. We are all on a journey. And the journey is meant to end somewhere. So the church cannot be climbing over each other to see who gets to the top first. Can't be selling each other out. We can't be, I'll use the word ratting or phrase, ratting each other out. Well, you don't know what they've done. I've had people say that to me. And I would just simply say, if God wanted me to know, he would have shown me. If God waits for all of us to reach some specific level of perfection before he uses us, we'll never be used. We all have a past. We all have faults. The race is not to the swift. And so I'm going to talk about love and honor, but that's not the extent of it. But this is where love begins to wane in a church or in an individual, and it's where honor disappears. So I'm going to kind of take a drastic shift. I'm going to say some things you may not be too fond of. See, I'm getting better. I could have said that in a much meaner way, but I'm getting better. Romans 12 and 10, and I didn't give them my scriptures, I apologize. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now, you're going to wonder how I'm talking about the race being to the swift, because it's all kind of Bible on how we treat each other. And so, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now watch the next part. In honor, preferring one another. So there is this affectionate relationship that we'll have with each other. And but then there's this next level of honoring another. And the scripture says that that's sort of revealed on how you prefer them above yourself. So, I'm going to explain this very clearly to you. But you can love people around you and never honor them. You can love those in authority but never honor them. You can love your own family members and never honor them. I'll prove all that to you. So, Philippians 2 and 3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem other better than themselves. See, that's not a race. Preferring somebody above yourself means it's not a race. Esteeming one another above each other or better than yourself means it's not a race. Now, I'm gonna go here just for a moment. And I've been here many times before. There are times, and I hear it all the time, and I've heard it just recently. There are times where you need to go to somebody and apologize when you're not the offender. Now, I know, you see, I got 2.5 rights and a few hmms. Why? Because you esteem the other better than yourself. And because you prefer the other. And so I go and I apologize. Why? Because I don't want this strife between us. I don't want animosity between us. And I'm sorry if you feel like I've done you wrong, or if I have done you wrong, maybe in my own error. Sometimes somebody's got to take the higher road so this doesn't become a thing of strife or vainglory. There is no dying on the sword in God's kingdom. That's not a realistic statement. And so, as we talk about this race that we're off to in life, the Bible is very, very, very clear. Prefer one another and esteem others better than yourself. 1 Peter 2:17, it says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the king. Let's look at the first two. Honor all men. So there's a level of honor that we're supposed to have for everybody. He says, love the brotherhood. That's kind of like the, well, let's call it the church body. So we should love this brotherhood just by our very nature. But I honor outside of this. My honor extends beyond this, but if I can't honor this, I'll never honor the king or the president or whoever or the police officer. And so we've had a grotesque breakdown in our world when it comes to this whole topic of love and honor. And now it's all about competition. Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's very hard to be submitted towards each other if I got a problem with the other person. Or if I prefer my own feelings over theirs. Or if I prefer to be proven right over them. Now watch this. So he says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That means this whole concept of submitting to each other should be done in the fear of God, meaning I don't want to offend God here, so I've got to do this right according to the word of God. And that's one of the reasons why there should be, and I can take it a step further now, there should be accountability when you don't come to the house of God. There should be a phone call or a text message or something. Why? Because I'm submitting myself one to another. None of this is about how fast we run. It's not about how far we get. It is about receiving and embracing and practicing the Word of God in our lives. And there's too much scripture that tells us that I put others above my own self, above my own feelings. I submit to those who I might not want to submit to, be accountable to each other. All of that, it all matters. And just give me a little bit of time. Now I'm going to get a little deep. If our young people don't see, or our children don't see it in us, then they'll never be challenged to be better themselves. Now, before I go on, let me explain that I understand that we live in a world where people have been wounded. I understand that we live in a world where people have been taken advantage of and they have been hurt and people have been scarred. And I understand that those wounds and those scars, they affect us, they affect our personality, they affect our outlook on life, they affect how we react and we respond to people and to situations. And I will also remind you that it affects how we teach our children. And when our children are, let's see, how can I put this? They're giving somebody the business. We're back there, yeah, I taught my baby never take anything from anybody. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. We're hurting them. And so then what happens is you get to this generation where we have a problem with the younger always wanting to usurp authority over the elder. Not biblical. Where the kids are trying to tell the parents what to do. And in many cases, they are. And the parents are saying, yes, honey, I'm sorry. Give me time. 1 Peter 5 and 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now, I just want to point out, it doesn't say to your father or your mother. It says to your elder. Meaning, we're not exclusively bound to be submitted to just our father or our mother, but we are bound by the word of God also to submit ourselves to our elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and give grace to the humble. But if I'm trying to climb over somebody, if I'm trying to prove my point, if I'm trying to be right all the time, I cannot practice the very basic things in the scripture. And this is becoming a bigger problem in our society. 1 Timothy 5 and 1 says, rebuke not an elder. Where do we ever get to the point where we could just tear preachers up or elders up because of what they do? Last I checked, God's the judge. He'll deal with the problems. But for some reason, we think it's our job to deal with the problems. But the Bible says, do not rebuke an elder, but entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren. Understand that all of this is the very spirit of the scripture that says the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. It's not about those things. It's not about being better. It's not about who gets where first. It's not about my name being at the top of the list. It's not about any of those things. Are you with me? And so I've noticed in the last several years, we got a lot of teenagers and youth that correct adults. It's not appropriate, even if they're right. Got 1.5 rights on that. See, the issue is not so much the correcting, even though it is out of line. I mean, there was a time you didn't dare correct an adult. Now, we think for some reason, we think because there has been such an abuse of authority in our world that it gives us a right to teach our children, well, you don't have to take it from anybody. That's not true. Listen to me. If we teach our children to pick and choose who you can try and walk over and correct and take authority over, where do you think that's going to stop? Where do you think it's going to stop? It's all a matter of opinion on who abuses what, who abuses authority, who deserves it and who doesn't. That's all a matter of opinion. And I assure you, your opinion and mine will probably be different from time to time, and theirs will be different even from yours. And so when we allow those things to go on in our homes and in our households, we are breeding a monster. That might be your little suckling, but it's a monster someday. And that's how you go and you birth Hitlers in this world. Because some people do not know where to control their own power. It consumes them. And I can promise you that this man that killed, and listen to me, if you're a part of the conspiracy theory nonsense, just don't even talk to me. I'm serious. My God, I'm so tired of hearing all that garbage and people, look at that. Oh, get out of here. The guy admitted to it. End of story. His parents, I don't understand. He took a major turn about a year ago when he got in this relationship, a rebellious relationship, an immoral relationship, an ungodly relationship. They didn't raise him that way. They didn't teach him that way. But it happened. Why? Because somewhere along the line, somewhere, and I'm not saying it's the parents' fault, but what I'm saying is we've got to take care of what only we can take care of. Oh, I feel like I'm, hold on a second, just give me some time. And so when you let this go on, it becomes a spirit of self-righteousness and haughtiness. And that becomes a part of the growth pattern. And then the question is, where does it stop? Where does it get checked? Who is wise enough to put it in check? And who's wise enough and strong enough to know where it stops? If our brains aren't fully developed till you're 25 or 27 years old, then at some point along the line, you got about at least a quarter of your life, if you live to be 100, that you're teaching yourself what's okay and what isn't. And I understand what Colin told my wife, and that is that, you know, a lot of times in school, they put all this pressure on you to be right, and so that becomes sometimes a part of our, man, but you just got to know sometimes when to just walk away from a conversation. But that aside, let's go back to the order of things. If we're going to grow in God, then we got to teach our children you respect authority, whether you like it or not. But you can't do that if you're too wounded yourself because of the authority that's in your life. So you've got to get healing yourself. You've got to get healing. You can't go through life just about, well, I understand the Bible says, but. No, there is no but. There's no buts in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say but. It doesn't say but. Why? Why? Because it's not about how fast we run, how fast we climb, how strong we are. It's about, can we apply the basic principles of the scripture into our lives? Why? To become all that God wants us to become, to get where God is trying to take us. And so what happens when you let these things go, as you go on, it becomes a who's right and who's wrong, tit for tat, and I deal with that junk a lot, and I honestly, I just get so tired of it. And it becomes toxic when you become adults. Toxic. And so social media has really, really enhanced all that stuff. Listen, let me just say it this way. None of my kids are on Facebook. Well, I think I did find out one of them kind of went around there, and they got on Facebook so they can use the messenger, but they're not on Facebook. And to my knowledge, none of them have Instagram, and they better not. And they definitely don't have Snapchat, because I'm not that dumb to allow it to happen. Are you saying I'm dumb? Probably. Yeah, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's no reason you need an app that deletes all the information right away unless you got stuff to hide. But that's a whole nother story. But see, I can go through life, And I can tell my teach my kids the social media, it's just garbage, and Instagram and all this stuff, and don't do it, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I don't teach them to respect their teachers. What have I accomplished? I don't teach them to respect their pastor. What have I accomplished? I don't teach them to respect their peers, their Sunday school teacher, the police officer when he pulls them over. And all they want to do is argue about how you were wrong. Oh, no, you did not. Listen, there's a time to have an argument. There's a time not to. Did you see how this just goes on and on and on and on? And before you, and then what are we? We live in a world of crusaders. Everybody's taking on a cause. We're going to kill the giant of big government, and we're going to kill this, and we're not going to tolerate this anymore, and we're going to rise up. Now, hey, listen. I just lost half the church right there, man. Y'all, you guys got your guns all over your house ready for the revolution. Help me, Lord. I'm all right, honey. Don't worry. I see you getting nervous. It's okay. Listen to me. I'm being honest, trying to have a little fun in it. At some point, we just got to back up. And it's not about who's always right. It's not about the race is not to the swift. It's not about who's stronger, who has the answers. It's not about whose theories are right and whose sometimes it's just pull back all the stuff and you say, what does the scripture say? And I've just read plenty to you just in a few minutes. Prefer your brother over yourself. Prefer one another. Esteem the other above yourself. Submit yourself. Be subject one to another. All of that has one resounding theme. It's not about me. And so as we try to teach, and I'm just on the young people for a few moments, our children, to be honorable. Listen, it's more... I'm going to say this, and I mean this. I'm not trying to be funny. It's more important for our kids to be honorable and respectful towards their elders than it is for them to vote Republican or Democrat. Boy, I got a little bit of help there. It's more important that they understand the scripture and what thus saith the Lord then they let their emotions take over them and want to be the next whatever or whoever. And so to the parents, I would say, I'm a parent. Don't be fooled into thinking this is just a child standing up for what they believe in, as we've taught them. That's not always what it is. And I'm going to say this to you, and I mean this with all of my heart. Now, please hear this statement. If you got to go potty, cross your legs for a minute. I can tell it's getting tough for some of you. You may have to undo some of the things you taught your kids before you got in church. Because you did not teach them the ways of the Lord. You taught them the ways of your own beliefs and your own feelings and your own ideologies. And I'm not saying it's always wrong. But you may have to cut, and you may have to say, you know what, honey? Remember I told you don't let anybody talk down to you? Well, sometimes you forget that. Sometimes you might have to take the high road. Because the Bible says, am I wrong or am I right? I didn't say it's easy, but it's right. And listen to me. Now remember, we're in a race. We're on a journey. It doesn't matter if I win every little battle. What matters is if I get into eternity and I hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what matters. And so he who is exalted will be abased, and he who is abased will be exalted. God will elevate us. We don't have to fight for positioning. We don't have to fight to prove who's right and who's wrong. Let God do something. Listen to me. God, help me, Lord. I felt tonight when I come in here, I could look around me. I could start naming people. You're carrying stuff, just burdens, just weight. I looked all around me and I could just see it in people. And I thought, God, this is not what we need tonight. But then I felt like the Lord still me and remind me that if you don't have a strong and healthy relationship with Jesus, nothing else matters. And a strong and healthy relationship, which is what we've been preaching about, will carry you through everything. I can have the worst day in the of my life at work, and I come home, and if my wife and I are in agreement, and we're not fighting, and we just begin to talk, and she says, "How's your day?" And well, you don't want to know. Well, I'm sorry, and then you know, just that healthy, it helps kind of make it better already. It nurtures it. If my kids go to school and they deal with all the junk and the garbage that they deal with at school, but they come home and my home is right, my marriage is in order, our walk with God is in order, we are biblically responsible, we teach our family to respond to situations the way the scripture tells us to, now when they come home, guess what? God will begin to take care of all the problems and the junk that they dealt with. The answer's not, the answer, and I'm not, listen to me, I am not against homeschooling. I'm not. So I want to be very clear about that. But some people, they homeschool, and I've said this before, they homeschool because they want to protect their kids from the world. Last I checked, you're not God. And you can't protect them from the world. But God can protect them from the world. Listen, I'm not speaking against homeschooling. I'm going to be very clear about that. Because some of y'all, if I preach about this, they get upset. And I preach over here about this situation, and you get upset. And you preach over here, somewhere along the line, someone's going to get upset at me. So you got to cut me some slack. Preach about bald people, they get upset at you. So let me go back and say, as serious as I can say it, you may have to undo some things you imparted into your children before you got in church. Hear me, I'm trying to get you to the next level. I'm trying to help you break some barriers, and you're not going to break them just by how fast you run, how high you jump, how much you can deadlift, how smart you are, how much you know. None of those things are going to do it. The only thing that will get you where God is taking you is if you are buried in the Word of God, and it becomes the author of every single facet of our lives. I wish some of you that weren't clapping clapped. Now, maybe you weren't not clapping because you didn't disagree, but I don't know that. So if you would have clapped, it would help me know. It's getting thick in here. Now, what I tried to start doing years ago, and yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you. Some of my kids, they probably exploited that. They perceived it as weakness, but I'm smarter than them, so they didn't know what I was doing. I realized that I can tell them now what to do, and they have to do it. But there comes a time in their life, I can't tell them what to do. And so you can lead by authority and strength. I mean strength by strong arming. You'll do what I tell you to do, and they will. But one day they're going to say, not anymore. It's only what we impart in them now that's going to carry them when they're out under the covering of our own umbrella. And that's the only thing that will matter at that time. That's why we have to teach our kids to be free thinkers, but we also have to teach them to be obedient to the Word of God. I got to hurry because I'm losing time real fast. And so I want you to know the strong and healthy relationship will strengthen you in ways that you never really fully know. So I'm talking a little bit about this love and honor topic because I've briefly talked about it before. It's a topic that to me is not very well understood amongst Christianity. And I think we confuse the two. Love is not honor, and honor is not love, and you have to have both of them. And it's in the scripture, and I read some scripture tonight. So you can love people, not have honor for them. Prove that to me. Okay, great. Very easy. Your children will love you even if you're a crackhead, but they're not going to honor you. They'll always love you, but they may never respect you. That's why you got to be careful when you rule with an iron fist, because they'll do it out of fear, but one day they'll realize I don't have to do this anymore. That's what I did. I came to the point one day and I said, I don't have to live like this anymore. And I said, I'm out. I'm gone. I left. That's what I did. So you can love them and have no honor for them. And I believe a competitive spirit is a bigger violator when it comes to honoring those who are over us in the Lord, honoring our peers, honoring elders, honoring those within authority. I think a competitive spirit. You don't believe me? Come on, folks. You've seen it all. It's all over everywhere in the world today. People come up and the cop says, well, I need you to step out of the car. Why? Because I told you. Who are you? Tell me. Well, dummy, you're going to find out in just a few moments. I mean, I watch some of those videos and I sit there and I'm like, okay, let's just see how long this one takes. I mean, you got to really be a numbskull to not think at some point you're getting drug out. What do you think your protest, but you know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because when they were kids, go clean your room. No, I'm not cleaning my room. Come on, honey, go clean. No, I don't want to clean my room. Okay, what if mommy gets you a popsicle? Will you clean your room then? No. I'm going to tell daddy when you go. I don't care. Now, as funny as it is exactly what happens. And guess what? When they're 30 years old and they get pulled over by the cop, step by the car. No. Why do I step by? No, because I told you to. No, you can't tell me. Who do you think you are? You're not my boss. I've seen people say that. I've seen them say the very thing. No, you're right. I'm not your boss. I'm the guy who's going to put handcuffs on you and drag you off to jail here real soon. I'm not talking about me. No, what I'm saying is when we teach love and honor, and we cannot let people be confused by the two. I believe every person in this church tonight loves me and my wife. I couldn't say that everybody honors us. And there's a difference. When you honor your parents and they say, go clean your room, you might not want to, but you do it because they ask you to and because you honor their word. When your parents tell you to do something, rather than fight with them and persist and protest, when you honor them, you do it even if you really don't want to. When we honor each other, when we honor God, when we honor the word of God, it might be tough, but we do it because we honor it. And we honor those who God has placed over us. You can love somebody. People, listen to me, people will come to church and they'll stay because they love you. Well, initially, I mean, but they won't stay forever. People will leave that love you. I remember a family left years ago, and I decided to go to their house and be stupid and think I could save something. And so while I'm sitting there, you know, they're like, you know, they're telling me how they're leaving, and they're like, but you know, Pastor, but we love you. And I burst out laughing. I didn't mean to. I really didn't. It just happened. And they got upset at me. But they did love me. They just didn't honor me. They didn't honor my leadership. They didn't honor my, and you don't have to. What I'm telling you is you'll only go so far by loving God and by loving the word. At some point, you've got to honor that word. You've got to honor God. You only go so far by love because you can love each other and get in a nasty, mean, old, knockdown, drag-out fight. But when you honor each other, I'm sorry. I did not want to let my... I didn't know why I said those things. I'm sorry. Because now you honor that person. That's why the Bible tells men to honor their wives. And so we cannot get confused with love and honor, because competitive nature, competitive spirits, trying to be ahead of everybody else in one way or another, win a fight, win an argument, the race is off. But the race is not to the swift. So, would you come up and play for me, honey? I'm almost done. Been preaching about relationship a lot. I really feel the Lord wants us to work on our relationships with Him. And sometimes, in order to better our relationship with Him, we have to work on relationships with each other. Why? Because the person you hate or you might not like, Jesus still loves and died for as well. And so, I love God, but if I honor God, I will honor His word and His wishes, and I will find a way to do right in the eyes of God, no matter what the cost is to me. Are you with me? Am I okay? Biblical order of relationship is paramount to a healthy relationship. That's why when the Bible speaks about honoring and loving and all those things and submitting and being subject, that's the order of it. That is paramount to a healthy relationship. Now, may I just for a minute? Ladies, you do not have a biblical right not to submit to your husband. You have no right to decide if you want to or not. You're not honoring God or His word at all. And men, we don't have a biblical right not to love our wives as Christ loved the church. To treat them with that respect that they deserve. Why do they deserve it? See, the race, we're competing now. What have they done to deserve it? Nothing. But they're His. His. He paid for them with a price. He is the Father of all creation, and He gets to set the ground rules. And He said, if I love the church enough to die for it, you should love your wife enough to die for her. And it's not about competition. We don't throw these things up at each other. You heard what the pastor said. No, we do it because we want to. Now, I've been married 27 years. You don't always want to be lovey-dovey towards each other. But you don't have to honor each other. You don't run your husband in the ground to your children. You don't go out there and have groups of girls and run them into the ground. I've said this stuff before. And men, you don't go out there and talk about how you're in bondage and you got chains around your ankles because you're married. No, that woman just never shuts her mouth. We don't do that to our spouse. We don't belittle. You know why? Do you know why we don't belittle each other in public? Because we honor them. I told some young guys once. I don't remember the situation. I truly don't. They're probably, I don't know whether guys think it's cool to give their girlfriends hickeys and all that stupid stuff, and you look like a trash. I mean, that's what you look like. And I said, have you ever seen a hickey on my wife's neck? Do you see me hanging all over my wife in church? No. Why? Because I honor her enough. And there are some things that are reserved for the privacy of your home, regardless of whether the world's made everything public or not. And so when you honor each other, I honor, I know you might not, but I honor every one of you. And I thank God I believe he's taught me how to be more honorable towards the church, because I've always wanted to be. And so I honor the fact that you don't have to be here. And I honor the fact that you're faithful. And I honor the fact that you do, and you help make this church. I truly do. I've learned you can love people, but just not honor them. And so, love will never keep people. We get married for love. We stay because we honor them. And we learn to honor them because we understand it's a whole lot more than feelings. And then you learn to respect each other. And the longer your relationship goes on, you respect the things that you have done and the things you've been through. And you respect those times where she or he just says the right thing for you at the right time, or you know what I'm talking about. Feelings, they'll interfere with your marriage more than anything else in the world. And it's funny because feelings is the very thing that got it going. That shows you how wrong feelings can be. Your heart can deceive you above everything else. But when I honor you, I'm not talking about you. I'm not going to badmouth you. I'm not calling you names because I honor you. I might be mad at you. I'm still not going to call you a name because I honor you too much. I'm almost done. Listen, David loved and honored Saul. It was David's honor of Saul that spared Saul's life. Watch. At the cave of En-Gedi, in 1 Samuel 24:6, if you want to put it up there, two verses, he said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed." Watch. "But I thought," society said, "if people mistreat you, if they abuse you, if they treat you, you have a right." I thought that's what society says. But that's not what David said. You know why? Because David honored Saul no matter what Saul did to him. And he said, "I will not do this thing to the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." Now watch the next verse. So David stayed his servants with these words. His words, not his actions, his words caused them to back off. When they saw David honor Saul, I feel the Holy Ghost talking through this. When they saw David honor Saul, they themselves began to back off of their own plans. Because David honored him. It was more than love. Love will cause you to feel really hurt and wounded to the point where you act out wrong. But when you honor somebody, it goes beyond all of that. And in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 8, the camp of Hakilah, then said Abishai to David, "God had delivered thine enemy into thine hand, and this day, now, therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time." I mean, I'll kill him first shot, first time, right away. God gave him to you. Isn't that true? Whenever the door of opportunity opens, is always God, right? Sometimes it is God trying to see how we're going to handle the situation. And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David loved Saul, but David honored Saul more than he loved him. Because if he only loved Saul, he would have been so wounded and felt so betrayed by what Saul did, he probably would have taken Saul's life or let somebody else do it. But because he genuinely honored Saul, he would not lay his hands on Saul. You see, that's the way we need to be. That's why young people need to be with their elders. You honor your elders so much, you don't speak a word against them. You don't correct your elders. And we need to be displaying that same thing. We need to teach our children. I don't talk down to my wife. I don't belittle her in front of my kids because I honor her. And what I'm saying, and I'm done, you may have to go back. We've had to go back a few times. You may have to go back and say, "Listen," have a little sit down and say, "Listen, you know, our lives have changed. Our family is changing and we want to honor God And we've said some things, we've done some things we should not have done. Just that very conversation honors God. The very conversation honors God because you're trying to be the peacemaker of your home, and that honors God. There's nothing wrong with that. Honor begins in a church, in my opinion, right here with the pastor. The pastor has to be able to show honor. And when he shows honor, I believe the lesson flows like anointing flows down. You know, we use those terms of endearment with each other for a reason. I realize it's not popular anymore, brother and sister. You know why we use that? Honor. Because I've never believed that I don't call fellow pastors by their first name. I got fellow pastors that it's Paul. No, not to me, it's not. And they're younger than me. Why? Because I honor you. I just don't like to do that. And I've done it, but I don't like, when I call Brother Fred, it's Brother Fred. Why? He's my elder. Some of you are like, well, you call me by my first name. Well, you're not my elder. But sometimes I catch myself and say, oh, you know. So we use those terms of endearment. Brother, sister, pastor, Mrs. Pastor, as Brother Johnny says. That's the way we show honor. And so I say to you again tonight. Actually, I'll go back and read it one more time. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread for the wise, riches to men of understanding, or favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. It's not about staying on top, getting on top, getting one up over on the other person, who's smarter, who's better. It ain't about none of that. It's all about the biblical order of relationship with each other, with God, loving each other, honoring each other, esteeming each other above myself. That's what it's all about. If you're with me at all and you're feeling me at all, I know you're tired, would you just stand? Actually, if you're with me, would you just come to the front? I just want us to pray that the Lord will help us to apply this word the way that God wants us to apply it. Now listen, I know, because I know God, that some of you, God has dealt with you about specific things during the whole time that I was talking. Don't brush it aside. Honor God. Let the Lord's will have its course in your life. Do what you have to do. It's not about winning. It's about doing what I have to do. And when we do that, we honor God. And we honor each other. Lord, I don't know how to close. I thank you for your presence that I feel. I know others feel it too. God, we want to honor you. We love you. That's a given. We love you. God, you've been so good. You've been so kind. You've been so merciful. Lord, you've brought joy into the joyless, hope into the hopeless, peace into the peaceless. I love you. But Lord, I need to honor you more than everything. Honor your word. Honor truth. Honor righteousness. Honor the plan of God, the purpose of God. I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, just to honor you. more and more every day. And I pray that you'll teach us that it's okay to honor each other. It's not about who wins an argument. It's not about who's right in a situation. But we honor each other because we honor God. And that is where the relationship with the Lord becomes stronger and richer and better. Would you sing, Brother Tyler? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
You give life.
Oh, Jesus, hallelujah.
You are love.
Hallelujah.
You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. In great are you, your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, and great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. You get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I lift up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I have nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Down. There we go. People are still praying. I want to let them pray. Colin's going to come and just close in prayer, but please pray. There's such a peaceful spirit here, which is evident of God's word. Please take it home with you. Please pray about it. Please chew on it, because God is trying to do more, but he needs us to be on board with him, his plan, his ways, if he can do more. Amen.
Jesus, I thank you for the profound word of God that we were privileged enough to hear today. I thank you for the man of God that brought it forth and for his willingness and wonderful preparation, God, and trying to do your perfect will for his life. I pray that we all would take time to digest this wonderful message, God. Let it resonate within our hearts, within our minds, and our spirits. I pray that we would make every effort to live it out every day. and that we would not beat ourselves up or be hard on ourselves if we fail, God, but we would get back up and try harder next time. Lord, we love you and we need you. May you have your hand over us as we travel home. And may we have a wonderful evening tonight, God. And in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.